Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, December the 26th. I hope that everybody had a wonderful Christmas time. I know we did. And now that the season or the day is over, now we're back to doing podcasts. And this is going to be a wonderful podcast because I'll be reconnecting today with an old friend, Tom Skybosh. We like to call him Sky, from my days in Milwaukee. And we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk. We're going to do a little off-season chat about baseball. We're going to focus on a couple of, I think, very important topics. Number one, the business of baseball and what is happening. You know, we were told a few years ago that the payroll tax was going to take care of the problem. Well, not really, not really. You still see very big payroll teams moving free agency, and I think this is something for the owners and the players union to really get serious about. Perhaps an even bigger problem is the time of the games. You know, when you used to watch baseball growing up and the games were over in 3 hours or less. Now it seems like every postseason game has to last 4 hours. I don't think that's good for the game, particularly at a time when younger fans don't watch television like we used to growing up. So a couple of good things to catch up with our friend Sky. Let me put him on. Hello, Sky. How you been?
Hey, Silvio. How are you?
Just absolutely great. It's been a few years since we've had you on, but it's great to have you back. Tell us about yourself, and I know you have a long and distinguished career.
Well, I got involved in baseball back in 1976, and I spent 19 years as the Milwaukee Brewers Director of Media Relations. And so I was there from 76 to 94, some very, very good years. You know, those were our one World Series appearance, and I got a mm-hmm. I got a World Series ring out of it, so that was kind of nice. And after I left the Brewers, I went into the newspaper business, and I went from one extreme to another, from covering the professionals to covering the younger kids. And one of the nice things about that, I covered prep sports. You see how much, you know, at that level, these kids are playing for the love of the game. And I really, really enjoyed that. And now that I'm retired, I'll still go out and I'll watch a lot of high school basketball, boys and mm-hmm. girls. So,
yeah.
You know, as you know me, Sylvia, way back to University of days, I've always been a sports nut.
Yes, and you were always always a good one. You know, if I had an extra ticket, I knew who to invite, you. And the same way with you. If you had an extra ticket, you knew who to invite. We went to quite a few games at the old County Stadium. Is that stadium still there, or did they tear it down?
Yeah, no, they tore that down. And okay. They actually have home plate outside in the parking lot. They got it you know, an actual home plate and with a little plaque that explains that this is where County Stadium's home plate was. So, mm-hmm. That went down right after Miller Park went up.
Yeah, and that stadium, of course, not only has that Brewer history that you were talking about, but also the Braves history. That's the stadium where the Milwaukee Braves used to play, where they won a World Series in 57. So there's a lot of history to that stadium. In fact, I'll never forget, there was a plaque at that old County Stadium just as you were coming into that section where the hot dogs were for sale and that kind of thing. And there was a plaque there going back to either 54 or 55 when the Milwaukee set a National League record for attendance, I think 2.4 million. And I'll never forget that plaque. I used to go by that plaque so much and thought about what a number that must have been in 1954 or 55 to draw that many fans. That's about 30,000 fans a game. That's a very, actually more, because they were playing eight games less, so four home games less back then. That's over 30,000 fans a game in the 50s. That's a lot of people. I mean, that's tremendous loyalty, Sky.
Oh, very much so. And but I always got a kick out of it, you know, in the world of politics today. And I know how hard they had to work to get Miller Park built. In 1953, they had a stadium, you know, no team in it, but they had a brand new stadium in 1953, which is, was, of course, County Stadium. And that was already built as they, you know, trying to get a team. And they ended up getting the Boston Braves. But the, when you think back, you know, to get the funding and everything to build a stadium, and you don't even have a team, but they did it in order to, you know, encourage other teams to move to Milwaukee, and that's how they ended up with the Boston Braves coming here and becoming the Milwaukee Braves.
It's a great story. It's a great story. Well, couple of issues I wanted to get into with you tonight and get your thoughts on a couple of issues. Let's go with the business of baseball. You remember you were with the Brewers when free agency broke in 76. In fact, Sal Bando, I believe, and Raleigh Fingers ended up with the Brewers, I believe, as free agents. They were not trades. They were free agents, right, back in the 70s.
Yeah, one of the two. Sal Bando, he was our first free agent.
Right.
Raleigh came. Raleigh was traded to the St. Louis Cardinals at the winter meetings.
Okay.
And then he was part of like a 7-player package that came over from the Cardinals with Ted Simmons and Fingers and Bukovich.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we sent four players to them in that deal. But
right.
But Sal Bando was our first free agent. The second one we had who. It's just so sad that he had to get a rotator cuff surgery injury. Was Larry Heisel?
Yes. Yes, I remember him with the Twins. He was with the Twins.
And Larry, yeah, Twins and Phillies, and he came over to us in '78. And well, I'll never forget. In '78, he had an outstanding year, and I always felt that he taught the Brewers how to win. I mean, he could have a game where he went 0-for-4. And then came up in the ninth inning and hit the home run to win the game. Every time we needed a big hit, he had it. And Silvio, he was one of the nicest people that you could ever meet. And, you know, back then, you know, they didn't have the surgery that they have now.
Right.
If they had the surgical knowledge that they have today, you know, he could have, you know, had the rotator cuff surgery and continued to play. But back then,
exactly.
There was no arthroscopic or anything. They had to actually cut through the shoulder and the layers of muscle, and, you know, you just don't come back as well.
No, you don't. But I remember Larry Heisel quite well. He was with the Twins. I remember that when he came up, and then later, of course, with the Brewers as well. Well, the business of baseball, I remember back then during the free agency that there were all kinds of fears in the mid-70s, late-70s, that only, you know, the players would only go to the big teams, and then it kind of settled down for a while. But now we seem to be at that same level again where you have, you know, teams like the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Yankees with very excessive payrolls compared to other teams. And you're forcing a team like Milwaukee or Kansas City to basically, you have a window of like 3 or 4 years. And then after that, you lose everybody like happened with Kansas City. And I just don't think that's healthy for the game. Forget the partisans in each city or another. But I don't think it's healthy for the game to have the Red Sox and the Yankees always meeting each other in the postseason, for example. I think it would be better for the game if there was more parity. So how you get to that, though, I don't know. They already have a payroll tax, but I'm not sure that's really working the way it was intended. So how do you see it? I mean, you're in a small market that was very successful this year, but it took you guys a while to get back into postseason play, Sky.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't see anything changing. All you have to do right now, and as a Brewer fan, it just kills me. You know, I subscribe to a lot of different online items. And, you know, I want, you know, Harper or Machado, I don't mean that, but their names is all you see. Brian Harper and, you know, Manny Machado and the Dodgers and the Yankees. You do have to admit, you don't see the Red Sox in that conversation because they're so talented as it is. But, you know, the Phillies this year has been, as they call it, and I get a kick out of this, they have stupid money to spend, is the way their owners referred to it.
Right.
But the Brewers can't afford, I mean, right now, gentlemen from down by you guys, Dallas Keuchel, is that how you pronounce it?
The Houston pitcher, yeah.
The Houston pitcher. You know, his name has been tied into the Brewers as one of four guys that, you know, and I could not see that. He's 30 years old. You know, he wants, you know, 5 or 6 years at, you know, $25 million a year, $15 million, whatever it is. That's a lot of money for them to pay. And that the two things that the Brewers – there's three things the Brewers need, but I don't see the urgency in one of them. But they need another starting veteran. Let me qualify that. Another veteran, obviously talented starting pitching. And the other one, they actually need some more bullpen help because they took some key guys out of the bullpen and put them in the rotation. Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta, guys like this, you know, Woodruff, who all did a great job last year, especially down the stretch. But once again, I don't see them spending. And then I just read something tonight on Twitter, that, and it just, oh, it irritated me. If you're going to get, you know, what's his name, Corey Kluber from the Indians. So the Indians, they would want Corbin Burnson and Justin Herrera, and Herrera is our number one prospect, and they say the guy is a hitting machine at second base. And I can't see giving these guys up for Kluger, who's, what, 33 years old. And so anyway, I can't see that. And I'm not worried about second base because what I think if they don't sign, if they're trying to get somebody like Jed Lowry for a one-year deal. And, you know, Lowry, of course, wants a two-year deal at least. But the point is you can always take Ronan Perez and put him at second, and then whenever the contract, you know, time starts on the clock starts on Herrera, they could put Keston Herrera at second base, and then you know you wouldn't miss a beat on that end. But they do need another veteran pitcher that's talented. I want to qualify that. That's talented. He really did a nice job with Shashin last year, Jolie Shashin. They got him, and he was wonderful. He was 15-8, did a great job. But they need another person at the front of their rotation and drop some of these kids back a little lower in the rotation. And I don't want to see Chase Anderson again. I don't want to see Ron Davies. Not Ron Davies. Can't think of the kid's name. But anyway, I don't want to see these guys again in the rotation. If you want to use them in long relief, that's fine. But, I mean, like Chase Anderson led the major leagues in home runs in gopher balls. So if they can, you know, add two pitchers and, you know, second baseman would be like frosting on the cake. But I really like the new general manager, David Stearns. He's actually turned this ball club around. When he said that they were going to have a rebuilding job, everybody figured 4 or 5 years, and he was in the playoffs in 3 years. So I just think Brewer fans are going to be spoiled now, I'll be honest with you. They were one game from the World Series.
I know.
They're going to expect to go to the World Series. But look at just look at this. Look at the Central Division. Everyone is getting better in the Central Division. And that doesn't say a lot for the Brewers on that end of it. I mean, they're gonna have their hands full just to win the division.
It's always been very competitive, in that division with now the Cubs and the Cardinals. It's going to be interesting. But it seems to me that, you know, like what this new the new financial structure is doing, it's that it's forcing a lot of teams to do what Milwaukee did or what the Rangers are doing now or certainly what Houston did, which is to build from within and basically just, you know, sign a free agent here and there, but really build from within. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work, though, Sky.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you nailed it on the head. Well, a couple of years ago, probably longer than a couple of years now, but Bob Costas came up with an idea that I thought was interesting. See, you're never going to get a salary cap in baseball. Not going to happen. The union will fight it, and it will not happen. So the salary cap in baseball, in my opinion, is never going to happen. Well, Costas came up with an idea that why not have, I don't know what you'd call it, but a high salary and a low salary. So in other words, teams, they would just take this money from the bonus money that they were paid out, you know, for other teams' taxes. And right now, a lot of those people, they would just put it back in their owners' pockets instead of spending it on the game, you know, putting it back in your organization. And so as a result, it was a situation where they had if they came up with a minimum, you know, and I, you know, nowadays it's, you know, let's say 50,000, no, not 50,000, 50 million.
Like
minimum.
50 million payroll, you mean, like a $50
right.
million dollar floor. Yeah.
Yeah, that you'd have to spend.
Right.
And because you're forcing teams then to spend some money instead of
right.
taking the money. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking the money and putting it back into your product. But there were owners who were taking the money and putting it in their personal pockets.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's no question about it. No question
yeah.
about that. And I know, for example, in Houston, the Houston experience is very interesting because they took a real beating in Houston. I mean, they had three consecutive seasons of like 109, 105, 106 losses. I mean, they got to the point nobody was going to the park. It was really bad. Well, but the owner said, no, I believe in what we're doing. And look, he turned it around in 2015, and they won the series in 2017. But it doesn't always work out like that. I think Houston got a little lucky there with some of their young players. But I just think, I don't know, big picture, I'm thinking big picture here. I think that when you have, the Manny Machados and Bryce Harpers, when those are the big names and the only teams that have a realistic chance of signing them are the Yankees and the Dodgers, I don't know that that's good for the game. It may be good for Harper. It may be good for Machado. It may be good for the Dodgers fans. It may be good for the Yankee fans. I get that. But I'm not sure it's good for the game. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, Sky.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not good for the game. That people, you know, that everybody, you know, they don't have a chance to sign someone like that. And like I said, you will, you'll never see a salary cap. You'll never see
right.
the Players Association, which is very strong. Baseball has probably the best players union
than
any of the other sports. You know, they'd never approve of that. So,
I think you're right about that. But I was hoping, you know, what I was hoping was that there would be some people within the players' union and within the owners who were maybe thinking a little bit outside the box and saying, you know what, you know, maybe giving up a little bit here is good in the long run. That's kind of the way I was thinking. I mean, they're not going to be poor people, these players. It's not like, you know, they're not going to make any money. But, you know, do they have to have a chance to make $30 million? Well, in a capitalist system, I guess they do, and that's okay with me. But when one player is making $30 million, there's a lot of guys who are not getting jobs in Major League Baseball because the owners are going with younger guys. I mean, wasn't it last year or the year before there were a ton of free agents who never got a contract, Sky?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up as the fact that, I mean, they already, just to give you an idea, you know, the agents were saying there was collusion last year because, you know, they wanted these ridiculous contracts and weren't getting them. And it wasn't collusion. It was some of the owners finally waking up
right.
saying, well, this is ridiculous. You know, these guys aren't worth this. And, you know, even in the end, you know, a guy who I thought the best pitcher out there was Jake Arrieta. And even he ended up with a, I think it was a 3-year deal, and
mm-hmm.
they're way under what they wanted. Because, I mean, they were talking,
right.
Boris was talking about a 6-year deal for him at, you know, $30 million a year, and you know, he didn't even come close to that. So,
right.
But I think you nailed it when you said earlier today, if you want to be successful today, your best way to do it is from within. You know,
that's right.
Draft well,
that's exactly right.
Make smart trades, that type of thing.
That's right. No, you're exactly right about that. Sky, let me take a little break. Let me take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll get into the other issue of the night, and that is the length of the games. Have you noticed how long the games are? We'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas talking a little baseball this week of Christmas with our old friend Sky from Milwaukee. We were just talking about the finances of the game, and now I want to get into another topic, Sky, and that is the length of the games. I wrote an article about this. In fact, they published it at the American Thinker, which is usually a political magazine, but I was able to get this one posted. About the length of the games, where I went back and I looked at 4 or 5 of the most famous postseason games in history. And it was nothing compared to now. The longest one that I was able to find was Carlton Fisk when he hit the home run. And that was exactly 4 hours and 1 minute that night at Fenway Park. But that was a 12-inning game with incredible amount of back and forth, as you remember, in the last few innings. But that was only 4 hours and 1 minute long. Today, that's a normal time for a postseason game, and I think that's hurting the game, Sky.
Well, as a lot of people say, casual fans especially, you know, baseball's too long. It's just too long. It's too slow. You know, they're trying to do things to improve it. You know, with that, you have so many seconds between pitches, but yet I ask you, you know, how often is that actually enforced by the umpires? You know, now they're limiting how
right.
many times you can go out. I think you get 6 visits to the mound, and they limit you on that. And they actually have that, most scoreboards now have that on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
That shows how many trips to the mound that people take. So they are trying. Ownership is trying. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, they get instant replay to help the game. But many times, you know, you call for an instant replay. And as you know, I always get a kick out of everybody has, you know, 2 challenges, as they call them. But then I think it's from the 7th inning on, if the umpires want to look at something, they can. So,
right.
you know, this delays the game. You know, in the old days, you made the call. If someone's going to argue, they're going to come out and argue, and then that's it.
That's
so,
it.
So, I mean, see, it's stuff like that that also, you know, hurts the game, and it takes longer.
That's right. No, and that's exactly right. But, you know, I've actually gone back and watched games on YouTube or MLB, you know, just gone back and watched the games and see if there was any difference in the pace of the game. You know, how can a game be 40, 50 minutes shorter back then? And the strategy, all the pitching changes, has something to do with it. But, you know, Sparky Anderson used to change pitchers a lot, and yet his games were not 4 hours long unless they went into extra innings. And, you know, even Casey Stengel used to do a lot of strategy, but his games didn't go that. So I wonder how much of the – of the player getting out of the box. I've noticed that. The player gets out of the box. It seems like there's a strategy between pitches. And I don't know how long that adds to the game, but that didn't happen back when we were younger, Sky.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, especially with the Brewers, they have a couple of guys that it's like they're constantly talking to the umpire. Like, you know, I'm screaming at the TV because they're going, was that a strike? Well, yes, it's a strike. I called it a strike. Of course it's a strike. And stuff like that. And, you know, the other thing I do, you know, in the world of now what they call the opener, where you have the guy comes in for, you know, two innings, mm-hmm. and then he's out. You do have more pitching changes than you've had in the past. And, you know, now the Brewers, you know, it wasn't until the last couple of weeks of the season that they actually did that more often. Because, you know, the Brewers had five starters, and they went with them, and then they had four, and they started, you know, using their rotation because it was not their rotation, their bullpen, because they had these good young arms in the bullpen that can come in for 2-3 innings. But so I do think you do have, Sylvia, I'm going to disagree with you there, you do have more pitching changes with this new, quote, strategy. And on that end of it, which, you know, personally,
right.
I think it might have gotten the Brewers to the seventh game, but it, or one game away to the sixth game. But it's still, I think, you know, going up against the Dodgers starters, that's what cost them.
Yeah. Well, also, yeah, now you're watching National League Baseball now. When you were with the Brewers, that was American League Baseball, so you had the DH. But now you're watching National League Baseball. Does that make a difference? Because we get the American League here in Texas, or in the Dallas area, of course. And is the game faster without the DH, or can you tell the difference?
Well, I think obviously there's less pitching changes, but you're also going to get more runs and more big innings with a DH.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Me personally, in my own opinion, I can't stand National League rules. I mean, they're the only league mm-hmm. in the entire world of baseball that doesn't have a DH. I mean, I don't.
Right.
Do you realize in the last 2 years, the Brewers have had three pitchers get hurt batting? And one was running the bases. And they've lost three pitchers
mm-hmm.
that way. And I don't pay anyway because of my credentials. But, you know, I don't want to watch some pitcher bat. Most pitchers, you know, the average guy in the stand has as much chance to get a hit as they do because,
right.
you know, first of all, they don't get the batting practice. And so I don't want to watch pitchers. Plus, here's the other thing. If they get bunt, but it's like, you know, forget bunting. Nobody bunts anymore or no one's mm-hmm. any good at bunting. Let me qualify that. And there's very, very, very few players who can bunt anymore. So, I mean, I would just as soon, you know, see a DH. And, you know, I'm not, you can talk about strategy and the double switch and all that all you want. But the only positive that comes out of that, and I do see a positive, you know, and one thing about Council, Craig Council, the Brewers manager, Craig Council uses all 25 guys in his team. You know, he mm-hmm. doesn't have anybody who plays once a week. I mean, he'll take his, let's say, your 14 players. And he'll take the 14 players that he has, and he'll go and they'll play. They'll play 2-3 times a week. And you wouldn't see that in the American League as much.
Right.
But,
that's
true. I mean, I do get – and that's one of the reasons you and I were talking off the air about these guys liked each other, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons
yes.
is – it is a team game from the point of view, the way Council uses everybody. You know, everybody gets to play. And, you know, obviously they got good talent. I mean, even their 25th man is decent. I mean, obviously if they were great, they wouldn't be the 25th man. But they're still decent,
right.
you know. And Council,
no, that's
they,
right.
they, whenever they make a trade, like, for example, they traded Santana in a deal to the Mariners. And they got back Gamble. And Gamble plays left field, right field, and he can play center. And the other thing I liked about him personally is the fact that he has a good on-base percentage and he hits for average. And he, you know, last year he had one homer, the year before he had 15. Well, you know, the Brewers have enough guys that hit home runs. They need more guys like Yelich and Kane who know how to work the count.
Right, put the ball in play also. That's very important,
yeah,
too.
So
let me ask you one last question, Sky.
Sure.
About the game, again, talking big picture about the game, and that is all this emphasis on the shift. You know, we've seen that over the last couple of years. I mean, my goodness, you have batters that come up. We have a guy here, Joey Gallo, when he comes to bat, it's like everybody is on the second base side. It's almost it's unbelievable. There's no one on you know, east or west, or I guess east or west of second base. Everybody and I, you know, the guy keeps it puts Gallo in a situation where he either hits home run or he strikes out, and the guy could be hitting 250, 260, I think, if they had the regular positions. And there's some talk about doing away with the shifting. I don't know whether you can do away with it, but I would love to see it disappear, Sky.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see that happen again because that's a strategy thing. And believe it or not, one of the first teams to ever do this were the Brewers.
Yes.
They were one of the pioneers to study where people hit the ball and, you know, line up their defense accordingly. And until you start seeing guys, like you said, hitting the ball the other way, until you start seeing that, too many players think that they can go up there and just, you know, jam that ball in there, and it's, you know, not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Like you said, a guy like Gallo, home run or nothing. But
that's it. So he ends up with 40 home runs and 82 RBIs. It kind of reminds me of Dave Kingman, but that was a different time back then, different situation. He struck out because he struck out a lot.
Right,
but Kingman at least would hit 210, you know, and so on. But anyway, Sky, the time has flown, as it always does when we talk baseball. But I want to thank you so much. I hope we get to do this again, and because I've enjoyed it a lot. It's great to talk baseball with you, but you know how time can fly.
Oh, no problem. Feel free to, you know, get a hold of me, and we can do this again sometime.
Let's do it. And, you know, I love those daily messages that you send out, you know, the Sky message of the day. I absolutely love those. So what's your message for today? Well, what message do you want to leave us with today?
Well, let's see what today's message was. Hang on one second.
Yeah.
I can look it up. It's on my Twitter.
Yeah, why don't you tell me your message of the day? Because I guess I could look it up, too, but it's probably easier for you. But I love the ones you put up every – what is today?
Today says you can work so hard that someday people will call your signature your autograph.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I can. I don't. Nolan Ryan comes to mind when I hear that, because that's the guy who worked hard.
Well,
I mean, don't you think so, Nolan Ryan? I mean, he had a lot of talent, but he certainly knew how to work.
Yeah, and he knew how to throw the ball 104 miles an hour also.
That's right, but man, he was but he was quite a worker. You know, the night that he pitched his seventh no hitter, he was on the bicycle after the game. Talk about persistence and dedication.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
No, not at all. I remember after the game, they were trying to interview him, and there was Nolan Ryan on the bicycle the night that he pitched the seventh no hitter. You talk about dedication. Amazing,
wow.
Just absolutely amazing. I mean, that's just, I never forget that. You know, they have all these TV people interviewing him, and there's Ryan on the bicycle doing his exercises, his routine exercises after every game, whether he pitched the seventh no-hitter or whether he pitched, you know, whether he lost. There he was on the bicycle. Sky, thank you so much for joining us. Mayor, I hope you had a good Christmas. I'm sure you did. And Happy New Year. I hope 2019 brings you everything you want.
Okay, you too, and you take care.
All right, thank you so much. A good friend, Sky, if you're on Facebook, I get his messages every day on Facebook, and they're absolutely wonderful. They're very uplifting, you know. We live in such a crazy world that getting those daily uplifting from a friend is something that I enjoy a great deal. We talked a little bit about the business of baseball, the money and the big markets. I guess that's a problem that the game is going to have forever. I wish it wasn't that way, but it appears that it is going to stay that way. And as far as the time of the game, well, hopefully that can change. I'm not necessarily interested in clocks. I think clocks and baseball don't go together. They just do not go together. But I can understand why the owners are trying this and trying that. You know, I think what the commissioner ought to do, with all due respect, what I would say to the commissioners, go back and watch a few games from the 50s and 60s and see if you pick up any differences between the game that we grew up watching and the game that they play now. The pace of the game was quicker. When you can, you know, when you can win a seventh game of the World Series, and I remember seeing quite a few of these box scores, when you can win the seventh game of the World Series in 2 hours and 22 minutes, I think there's something there for the commissioner to look at and see what we can learn from whatever they were doing back then when they were playing baseball and playing games a heck of a lot quicker. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Now that Christmas is over, we're back in the business of podcasting, and we've got quite a few shows lined up between now and the rest of the year. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.